You're on Earth Tribe Radio. This is www.earthtriberadio.com. And we... Hey, Fiona.
Hey, Jill.
And today we have with us one of my favorite people here in Ojai. It's Dorji. Dorji, welcome.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Fiona.
So, Dorji, I discovered by accident, by seeing this amazing restaurant in Ojai called Mandala, and I got to meet him and his wife, Dolkar, and a beautiful family, sons, beautiful family, beautiful food. And I've always wanted to ask you about your journey from Tibet to Ojai. Can you tell us a story about how...
Sure, it's a long story, but make it short is... both of my wife, Dolkar, and I come from, born and raised in Tibet. And so when we didn't know each other in Tibet. And however, in my 20s, I decided to leave Tibet to find a better future. So left Tibet in 92. And walked across the Himalayas for 30 days.
Oh my gosh, can you share a little bit about how that was for you?
And because how many were you with? Were you alone?
Well, we have about 12 people in a group. Uh-huh. And once, you know, as a human beings, once we perished and no freedom, the searching for the betterment of myself, and made the decision to walk across the Himalayas to searching for the betterment. And that decision determined me to walk across the Himalayas. So in 92, in December, a group of 12 people with a guide, and we got in our truck and drove 24 hours into the mountain, in the Himalaya mountain range. And middle of the night, the truck stopped, and they dropped us right there. When we got off the truck, it's a heavy wind, high elevation, about 17, 18,000 feet above sea level. And hard to breathe, try to adjust to the element, because we 24 hours to stay in the truck and never got out the truck. So that's the extreme condition. Then freezing cold, minus 20, 30, 40 degree.
Oh my gosh.
And it's as if we just died. Somehow appeared in the hill, so just suffering. And our guide started pushing us to move. Took us about maybe 5-6 hours to move maybe a couple miles. Hard to walk, because at the beginning,
yeah,
even though we're Tibetans, we live in that element, but still, so we went so high up in the mountain, so for us a hard time to adjust.
Yeah.
So the first night we slept outdoor in my life. That night I know the sky, blue sky is our blanket, and the earth is our mattress.
Wow.
That's all we had, minus 30, 40 degree temperature. Oh. And, well, in a normal condition, probably nobody would be able to survive. After falling asleep, we probably never be able to wake up. But we have a wonderful guide. And we slept, so all 12 people crowd together, just hold on to each other, and sometimes take turns who get into the middle, so that they use the human body to warm up us. And in the morning... And we fall asleep in the morning. Our guide just shake us up to wake us up. But our body just literally frozen, cannot move. However, he pushed us, so we slowly move. Although if we didn't have the guide, no, we probably never be able to wake up, or we probably frozen died. So like this condition took 30 days across the Himalayas. And a lot of people asking how someone be able to survive in those kind of harsh environment, harsh conditions. But I learned that as a human being, and once have that determination within ourselves, and spiritually, physically, mentally, to tell oneself to be a survivor, to survive any conditions. Once that determination kicks in within someone, and I truly believe that in any condition as a human being be able to survive, because I lived through that, and I experienced that life. And so when we're walking, we are sometimes we really not worry about frozen to death or hungry to death. Probably we are more worried about where who gonna shoot us in at the border when we're crossing.
Oh my goodness! So and that's after 30 days you get to the border.
It's during 30. During 30 days. Sometimes we hide for 12 hours under the rock somewhere, hide because there are a lot of military or police around. Sometimes we walk 24 hours in the empty nature, whole world of white covered snow, not even birds fly in the sky, not even a sound, just empty nature, white covered world, just constant walking. And our guide had a great method of motivate us. How he does is, look at the mountain of the distance. Beyond the mountain, we reach our destination. Walking 2-3 days, reach the top of that mountain. And finally said, are we there yet? And our guide says, do you see that mountain right there? So, just like that. And after about 20 days, then we reached the tip, reached the border. So we, one night, the night we crossed the border, we reached the Dinger Valley. It's at the bottom of the valley, and a very windy night. We reached the river, the White River, both banks are frozen, and middle still running water. Temperature is minus 40 degrees plus heavy wind. And there's no way to jump across. There's no bridge to cross. You know what our guy did? He said, take a clothes off, put on your head, walk across.
Oh, that must have been very... Well, now you could do anything, I think.
It's a funny part is after we saw our guide walk across, and I literally took my clothes off, put on my head, and... literally gonna frozen to death because I mean, in the middle of the night, took clothes off under minus 30-40 degrees. And when I step into that frozen water, I felt under the water is much warmer than above the water, even though it's a freezing cold water because there's no wind out there.
Right.
And across the river, so the guide is start pushing us, put it closer very fast. Just keep moving, do not stop. If you stop a minute or two, you're done. And then we walk another 12, 13 hours, keep walking, so we cross the border. And then descending from Nepal side, from a Himalaya downhill side, we ran out of food. So what we did is we stopped by some villagers and we take our clothes off from our back, give to the poor villagers to exchange for potatoes or barley or corn. So like that, so survived.
Wow.
And when we appeared in the somewhere the green grass, the green trees line, so suddenly we feel like we are alive again. As if the 30 days, as if I was died walking the hill, somewhere freezing cold, I'm suddenly appeared in the world again, and I suddenly see the life. You can chirping birds in the forest. You can see the green grass. You can literally pick bananas off the trees. So in the tropical Himalayan mountain range in Nepal.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you got to Nepal and you got to get warm and have some food, did you reflect on the 30 days, what you might have learned about yourself in those 30 days or anything?
Of course, and actually first encountered I would eat really fresh food. At the border region, when we got to down to Nepal, we got arrested by the border Nepal military or police. Because there's no road, no cars, but there's someone stationed there, watch the border. But and he took us into police station and put 12 of us in the middle of the compound of the police station. There's a lot of the police surround the building watching as if there's aliens somehow drop from the sky. Because 30 days of no washing, no brushing, no combing, hair, nothing, but look like a really zombie.
Okay.
Then there's one Nepali lady threw us bananas, as if they threw the banana to a monkey.
Oh my goodness.
And we got that banana and peeled it off so fresh. I can smell that from distance. And each one of us had a bite of the banana. So fresh.
12 bites.
So tasty. Yeah, 12 bites, yeah.
12 bites.
Yeah. So that's, and then reflect. As sometimes I ask myself, how as a human being could survive in those kind of conditions? How we could... How we did this, it's impossible. I mean, today I sit here in front of you. If someone paid me $1 million to do that again, probably I couldn't.
Yeah.
Probably, even though we are temperature is so warm here, Ojai, if someone asked me to go sleep outside tonight, probably I won't survive tonight.
Well, wow, that's amazing.
Because I think the human endurance, I think we prepare as human beings to mentally and prepare ourselves to say, you know, I'm going to do this. Then I think if we put it into action, then as a human being, be able to succeed, be able to survive. Because I think through the Himalayan mountain, if I didn't know I was across the Himalayan mountain, somehow just dump into the Himalayan mountain and say, okay, go walk. No way I'd be able to survive even a single day. It's impossible.
But you had a purpose.
Because it's already determined.
Mm.
Because already planned. Because already thinking about it. So for some time, already know the condition. Already determined. Say, you know what, I make it up. Because when the truck dropped us in the mountain, so either we go is halfway.
Yeah.
So in order, so we determined to go moving forward, then that's the only way to survive. And our guide also told us that it's very important. He said, do not wash anything. If your feet are frozen, do not take your shoes off, put it close to the fire. No, don't do that. Then later I learned that, I think, I don't know if it's true or not scientifically, but what he's saying that our human body has its own protection, itself. So if you go there washed off, and then become frostbite because you just get rid of the natural protection from your own human body. Some people frostbite, and one guy, our group, and he lost his nose. Because one morning it's almost got the border, but one morning it's a little warmer, it's the sun, sunshine, everything. And he went to the river bottom, he washed his face.
Oh.
And he came back, he's clean. We all look dirty, but he's clean. He says, I'm clean, you guys are dirty, da 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 da. But next day, his nose frostbite.
Oh,
done.
Dear.
So that's what he said, didn't wash. So 30 days, myself, I even didn't touch the water. Even in the middle of the night, I can feel my foot's probably frozen because I can feel it. Numb, nothing. But I leave where it is. I didn't even warm it up. Or I didn't close fire, nothing. Then next day, it's okay. So keep walking, and then it's okay. It's self, it's a heals. Somehow there's, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think I feel
that's a wonderful teaching.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And also the fact that I think the mind has such a power over the body.
Absolutely. That's my biggest learning for this 30 days is mind did not give up.
Mm.
Once our mind won't give up, then the physical body will follow what our mind thinking. That's, I think, I truly believe in modern days, I mean ancient days too, but the power of meditation, because we train our mind how we control our physical body or ourselves or our spirit. Then that's, I think, it's a mind-boggling as a human being.
So it's almost like are you saying that like the mind is the guide that guides the body and brings the spirit in?
Yes. So it's like this. So when I constantly in my mind say life is beautiful, when I think about it, meditate on it, thinking it again and again, truly it's a life is beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even though I may have cancer, or even may I have suffering in a horrible condition, but yet then really think about it, it's circumstances, it's just external. Then your mind is, you know, can alter the situation. That's, I think, I truly believe in that.
Mm-hmm. So that was like, I mean, that was such a life-changing, I mean, and expanding. It must have taken a very long time to digest that whole experience. Did you find, like, because you must have got realizations and wisdom from it for a very long time.
Absolutely. I think it's as human beings, when we go through situations, then we can come to a realization of what the circumstance, what the situation look like. So, for example, someone has cancer, survived, then be able to really experience that, what really happened, how that overcome the situation. If someone never had any situations, for example, someone lived comfortably in life, then ask that person how is your happiness. Probably that person couldn't tell, define the happiness, because that person never had any kind of downturn. In other words, suffering, we talk about suffering, right? Suffering is after suffer, then we really truly feel the true happiness. Mm-hmm. Then we can define, that's, I think, when we cross the Himalayas, really, I thought, my God, what I'm doing here, okay, oh, I'm so regret, I'm so disappointed, just beat myself down. In that moment, then I probably disappeared in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Then, really, in that situation, the only tell myself, I'm going to survive. I'm going to make this happen. I will be okay. I'm going to keep fighting, keep going, so I will become a survivor. Then itself, it's really become a survivor, because you envision the destination. And once the destination looks clear, then I will take constant action towards that destination, mm-hmm. and I'll be there. It's a strange, no?
Yeah. I also really like how your guide brought you across the Himalayas in saying, you see that mountain, focus on, that's where we're going. And I know when I was going through the radiation and the cancer, I was trying to, this is the picture I had in my mind, is a sailboat. That gets, the wind changes every day, so sometimes it blows you this way, sometimes there's no wind and you don't move, another time over there, but you keep your eyes on the horizon.
Absolutely.
That's how I got through it. It's like...
So Dorje, if there was one message that you got from that that you'd like to share with everybody, and you've given us so many messages already and so much wisdom, is there one more that you would like to share that people could take away and
take away from the journey?
Yeah, for people who've never done anything like that or who have, but I mean, I can see so many, which is life is beautiful, keep your eye on where you're going. But if you wanted to give one message today at the end of this particular show, what would it be?
Well, I mean, myself, right? I lived through that life of across Himalayas, become a refugee in India, and those life struggles. But one thing is determination for betterment oneself. That's, I think, we notice, especially notice important, because most of the time, probably 99% of the time, we as human beings, we always make excuses blaming others for my misery. But it's true is, really is, I ask myself, how I can do, how I can make myself available to others, how I can be helpful, how I can be someone who rely on for others' happiness. Then when I focus on myself, the much easier than blaming on others.
Yeah, that's such a great message. Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, we'll be back soon with Dorje again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dorje.
You're welcome.